Welcome back, guys. My name's Dimitri Sebastian.
And I'm Wes Kendall.
And we are back in session, where your fitness and lifestyle questions are answered and bro science is put to the test. All right, my man, how you feeling today? We had a little bit of a pre-Easter celebration ourselves, right?
Oh yeah, that was a good meal. I definitely enjoyed, you know, hanging out, cooking some steaks, roasting some potatoes and corn. That was solid. We did keep a little healthy.
I was proud of you.
It was macro friendly, even though it tasted good.
I will actually say though too, you can make a hell of a steak on an electric burner stove.
Practice.
I can't. I wouldn't say I'm not a good cook, but for some reason, if you give me like a steak, mm-hmm. my tendency to ruin it is actually kind of impressive.
I'd say my skill in steak cooking is only applicable to certain cuts of meat. So okay. It's like if I tried not a tenderloin. If I tried like a ribeye, like we were talking, mm-hmm. I would be lost. I'd know.
Okay, what I'm you doing. Just you, so you basically attempted the same cut so many times that you now know how to.
I know exactly how to do it. Yeah.
Okay, I can appreciate that. I mean, when it's over fire, it's so much easier. Oh, low and slow, right. And then you just follow whatever timer is, or you can do that like weird hand press with different mm-hmm. fingers for doneness. My official opinion is just throw it on the fire, undercook it, and, you know, whatever parasite I get, like, that's just a little bit of extra protein.
As long as it's seared on both sides, you're good to go.
Exactly. You know, you get a tapeworm. You know what kind of freaking shreds I could get with a tapeworm?
Oh, yeah. You'll be shredded.
Exactly. It's easy. Like, I wish I had two tapeworms. So, you know, speaking of the food and stuff, it was funny because we're talking about, like, the situation where it's like you actually were able to get protein,
right?
And there was a period of time there where it's like, oh man, like I go to the store and there's nothing available, and like the grocery stores are starting to fill back up a little bit, which is nice. We had some access to like some pretty low cost, high quality cuts, which I appreciated, obviously.
Yeah,
and
definitely grateful.
What was we were talking about before was different types of diets.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I want to talk about today because of our specific situation was if it fits your macros.
IIFYM crowd.
IIFYM, which is the
Pop-Tarts, right? That's what it is.
All Pop-Tarts. Wes will give a better actual commentary on it here in a second, but if you've heard of If It Fits Your Macros, you're probably thinking of like your favorite Instagram fitspo or someone who does like fitness blogging on YouTube. All of them are very, very big on the If It Fits Your Macros because what it does is they're able to do more entertaining videos, are able to eat more interesting things, because if you don't do If It Fits Your Macros, you can't go to super nice restaurants or to interesting or even like just Chick-fil-A,
right?
Because most really strict diets don't fit into those things. But if It Fits Your Macros is a little bit more diverse. Wes, you want to kind of give a little bit more of like a doctor definition of what it actually means?
Yes. Should I give like the OG definition or the new age bro edition?
Oh, you know I want both. Okay. They're old age. I want to hear it. Because the thing is, that's where I learned about how keto and Atkinson's were completely different than what I thought they were, because I was going off the new concept, not mm-hmm. the old.
Yeah, so they always start one way, and then, of course, like the internet and like experience and the days take it over and turn it into something else. But it started out as like variations on the bro diet, which is considered like what the bro diet is: rice, broccoli, chicken, you know, those clean bodybuilding foods that people stick to when they're like going for contest shreds or something like that. So what they used that term, If It Fits Your Macros, as like a bodybuilder would get tired of eating white rice every meal and be like, can I eat something else? And then his coach would be like, yeah, you can eat a different carb if it fits your macros. And he meant like you can eat sweet potatoes instead or quinoa.
Okay, so basically it's saying you can still eat, but you just need to alternate to a alternative healthy food.
Right.
Is how it started.
And then from there, what do people naturally do? They're like, okay, if I can switch my rice for sweet potatoes, can I switch my rice for bread? And then they try that. And then they're like, oh, if I can switch it for bread, can I switch it for Pop-Tarts? And then it just goes on and on.
It's a slippery slope. It's like, you can only have, you know, a quarter of the amount of food with this high sugar option, but technically it still fits in your macros. And that's actually which led to like things like Weight Watchers.
Right.
Was it Jenny
Craig?
Your
point systems and stuff like that.
Point systems. Weight Watchers, like a bunch of people's moms run Weight Watchers at some point, or Slim Fast mm-hmm. or stuff like that. It was all based on the concept of if it fits your macros.
Right.
And it was all about restriction. What would
portion
you say?
Control.
What
right?
Yes. What would you say is the what is it, if it fits your macros, like as it stands today, like it's obviously progressed further away from the pure institution that it was. What would you describe it as now?
Now it's like showing off what you can get away with, I would say, on Instagram. Would you not agree?
I love that you said that because there's some people I follow on like Instagram. I used to watch them on YouTube. I've kind of gotten past that.
Yeah.
But they would be like, they would go to like Chick-fil-A or they'd be going to like a Chipotle every day or this, that, and the other. And they would, if you look and actually see what they eat, you have to have like kind of a discerning eye. It's like healthier options at these unhealthy food locations. Mm-hmm. But it was basically showing like, yeah, if you do my lifestyle and my way of doing, if you buy my fitness plan or do how I do things, you can have all these things.
You can eat just like I do.
But I'd also say that most of those Fitspo people that subscribe to If It Fits Your Macros are people with naturally high metabolisms. And those are the people, like I, my old roommate who I've talked about has been like a pretty serious stud his entire life. He works very hard. But that guy needs to eat like 4,000 calories a day. Mm-hmm. That is twice what my base metabolic allowance is.
Right. And he can eat more bad foods in that 4,000.
Exactly.
And fit and get away with more.
And of course he doesn't because he's a piece of shit. Hate that guy. But it's that exactly. It's like you, that's where If It Fits Your Macros. We'll talk about some of the criticism in a little bit, but that's kind of where it gets a little bit dicey.
Right.
You showed me a video when I walked in today and I was super glad you did. It was Mike Pulcinella. And you can look this up on YouTube. It's Mike Pulcinella. Look up Mike Pulcinella Six Foods.
Yep.
And you should be able to find it.
Six Foods That Work.
Six Foods That Work.
Yep.
And it's a kind of grainy video from like early 2000s. And it's it might take a little bit of searching around, but it's worth watching. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that there are two types of foods. Foods that don't work and foods that do work. And in his opinion, foods that don't work are almost all foods. Mm-hmm. Foods that do work, he limited it down to six, quasi-seven. But he limited it to six foods. And yep. This is an individual, and you can look him up, who has been very successful as a bodybuilder and as a coach.
Right.
So he's not completely talking out of his ass. But what were the six foods again?
So it was, for proteins, you had whitefish or tuna.
No, it wasn't. It was tuna, egg whites.
And chicken breasts. Yep. And then for carbs, it was banana, oats, and rice or sweet potatoes.
Yes. So egg whites, tuna, chicken breasts, bananas, oatmeal, and rice, but he said that he could sub that out for a sweet potato.
Yes.
He specifically said brown rice, although I bet he would change his opinion now.
Oh, I promise you he would, because he actually did a revision to the video that's like a long 15-minute video where he talks about like, these are the six foods that work for me and my clients.
Okay.
He like toned it back a little bit.
He's aged a little bit. He now has like a little bit more perspective on things.
Yeah.
But I guess I wanted to get your thoughts on what he said and if it has validity or if it's just completely excessive.
I think it those foods do work. There's no doubt about that. But are they the only foods that work? Not necessarily. Plus, he's also dialing this into like a crowd of people who are trying to get contest prep shredded. Mm-hmm. Not like, oh, I just want to lose 15 pounds for my wedding. You know, it's a different mindset.
Yeah, and also there's something that kind of I found interesting is no greens.
Like, I think that, I promise
how
you.
How micro-deficient was he?
No, he was eating greens. He just didn't count those in that part.
Okay, so he does the Dimitri method where if it's green, it doesn't count. It doesn't
Yeah,
real.
He said that he ate greens every single meal, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so he had like a spinach or some kind of something.
Broccoli or something, okay. Yeah.
And that doesn't have cheese or butter on it, because then if it has cheese or butter on it, if you put cheese, any fat, mm-hmm. onto a vegetable, it is now a fat with fiber.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Say it right now.
Yeah,
that is all there is to it. People are gonna hate me. They hated him because he told the truth.
Right.
that's so. I actually thought when he said it, I agreed with him entirely. I didn't even think he was an asshole about it. I heard it, and my only thought was, you are correct, but who cares?
Yeah.
It was like, that's great that you're correct. It's like saying, you will be healthier if you never drink, you sleep a minimum of 8 hours every single night, you never drive fast, you never eat ice cream, you never just like, it's like, you are 100% correct, but, you know, you have to ask yourself about, like, lifestyle and existing, and he actually even referenced that in the video briefly. It was from a different segment of the same documentary. And he says, you know, they say that it's a different lifestyle, but it's not. It's just choosing a different lifestyle. And he's correct.
Yeah.
But you got to decide, what do you want from life? Mm-hmm. And I agree with him in the way that you shouldn't let food run your life as your lifestyle, but also there's a lot of good shit out there.
Right.
And there's a lot of interesting things you can do and still probably get the same results he gets while eating at least like twice as many foods.
12 maybe. Yeah. I think it's definitely speaks to the extreme of the sport, you know, mm-hmm. like only 6 foods possible, which we know that there's got to be at least some more foods that can work to get you contest sleep.
It's like saying if I were to lock you in a prison with a gym for 3 years, you would get shredded.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming you actually use the gym. But
right. That,
but you're right. If you put me in, locked me in a prison for 3 years and said, get shredded, I would come out shredded.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what kind of life is that?
Right.
And it's like some people say that's a life
for everyone.
Where I'm going to meet my goal. But for most people, it's going to say, like, at what cost?
Right.
Because that's also damaging to relationships sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're, like, if, you know, if you have a significant other who's also within the lifestyle, they're a competitor or a fitspo or in some way very supportive, they're going to be like, hell yeah, let's eat 6 foods. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I told my girlfriend I was eating 6 foods, she'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right. Like, good for you, bro. Like, there would be very little sympathy for me, and I would be, she's, like, still going to want to go out to restaurants, she's still going to want to hang out with friends, and I can sit there like an awkward person, but that's a decision you have to make for yourself. What are your priorities?
Right. Man, yeah, it's true. That is, like, the far extreme, and I think that it also, one thing that he didn't expand on that he should have, and I've experienced this in my contest prep this season, is there is some convenience in limited options because of like shopping time, cooking time, routine. Those things definitely play when you're having to prepare 6 meals a day. If you're good at cooking that steak like I am,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I eat that every night, I can get that meal whipped up super fast. You know, it's not like as much effort as if I had to be creative and, you know, find other food options in the depths of prep when you're, you know, tired, hungry, and depleted. You don't have that energy.
It's like that routine becomes freedom, because instead of sitting in like for an hour on your phone on MyFitnessPal plugging things and how am I going to make this work,
mm-hmm.
you know it's going to work. You may not be thrilled about your meal,
right.
but at least I know that this is the one thing that's solved and already ready.
Right.
And I could just do that. And I'm already like freaking have a headache and I just want to fucking be done with my day.
Right.
That removed that part of my day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I think there is an amount of freedom to limiting yourself. Like sometimes
to that discipline.
Exactly. Yeah. The discipline brings you to a point where you can live a life that you want to live. And I think that a lot of people could benefit from the concept of like, okay, I'm going to limit myself to these limited foods. I say more than 6.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to allow myself like a really good meal like once a week or every other week or even twice a week.
Right.
And you're going to find that those foods that you really like and those more unique foods are actually going to be better to you. And you'll get more excited about them. Because I'll tell you didn't eat McDonald's for like, you know, 6 months once. Man, McDonald's slaps when you haven't had McDonald's in a long time. It's so much better. It's like, man, I can see why this is the most popular fast food restaurant in the goddamn world.
Yeah. Those nugs hidden.
But only if you allow yourself to not have it
right.
frequently. Because at that point, you're just,
special,
you're just a drug addict. You're just getting your hit.
Mm.
But it's like, if you kind of space it out and make it a treat, it makes it just so much better. Like it's reducing the, diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you get a box of donuts, the first donut's going to taste awesome. By the time you're at like your 6th, God damn it, I just never want to eat another donut again.
Right. Yeah. But yet, why do we always go to the all 6? Why
not stop at 3? I don't know. Exactly.
I go to Krispy Kreme, I'll eat all of them.
I lived across the street from a Bosa for 2 years.
Oh, Lord.
And if you don't know what a Bosa is, it's so a good donut shop. It's local to Arizona. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but
they're Vietnamese donuts or something, aren't they? Or Filipino donuts?
No, they're not. They're just normal donuts. But I will make the statement that if your donut shop isn't run by a bunch of Asian ladies, it's not. It's not S tier.
Oh, shit. So I'm just being a stereotype.
No, that's not even a stereotype. It's just if your donut shop does not have a bunch of Asian ladies in there, I'm sorry, you probably don't have a top tier donut shop.
Okay.
You can throw bacon on it. You can throw cute stuff on it. You can fill it with whatever you want. If there's not some like Korean, Filipino, Asian lady in there, it's probably not the best donut in town.
That's funny.
I will stand by that for the rest of my life because it has been proved for me over and over and over again. I'm living my life. You're living yours. I live in reality.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, moving on from that, if the donuts fit your macros, you can eat them because that's what we're talking about today.
Right. IIFYM.
So the reason we want to talk about this one first, and we're going to be talking about like vegetarian, we're going to talk about vegans, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about the carnivore guys and pescatarians, all of that stuff. We're going to be talking about those things as we move forward.
Right.
But I wanted to focus on this one because we're in a current state right now. We're in a lot of locations, a lot of individuals do not have access to the full vast expanse of foods that they typically do. Like, I know the grocery stores are improving.
Right.
But I went to the grocery store today and, there was not the type of beef that I wanted. There was not like this specific rice that I like to get. There wasn't the type of granola that Taylor wanted. It's like, they just aren't all available. The popular items are still out.
Whether you like it or not.
Exactly. So you're basically, if it fits your macros, becomes individuals who are like, man, I always have this type of vegetable or I have this type of meat or this type of thing. They're going to have to kind of change things up a little bit. And that's kind of where if it fits your macros becomes a more common trend.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're managing to be a vegetarian or a carnivore, whatever you do during this time, more power to you. I'm very impressed. I think that you're freaking hitting it hard and you're obviously like a true dude. I think the people that are able to maintain those things through hard times are some of the most impressive people. But with that said, this is what we're going to talk about right now. And I think with if it fits your macros, you have to talk about being realistic.
Right.
Because we ask ourselves, can you eat whatever you want if it fits your macros? Okay.
Kind of.
So I'm going to pose a situation. For me as an individual, for me to maintain weight, I happen to be one of the weirdos that I maintain weight at exactly 2000. Like the FDA was talking to me when they made that freaking food pyramid. And if you want to get me fucking started, let's talk about that food pyramid. It's a crock of shit.
Oh my God. Lies.
But that said, so I'm at 2000. Very easy number.
Right.
If I were to decide one day that I wanted to lose 1 pound a week, I'm going to drift down to about 1800 roughly. If I were to only eat like McDonald's or Twinkies, just Hostess shit, McDonald's and fast food stuff, Taco Bell.
Right.
And I ate 1800 calories of that every single day for, we'll say, a month. In theory, by science, I should still lose those 3 to 4 pounds. The question you have to ask yourself is, although you've lost those 3 to 4 pounds, are you losing them in a way that your body composition is going to be at its ideal?
Right. Are you improving your body? Are you losing the weight from the right place?
Exactly. Right? Because I dare you to get enough protein in by doing that. Very high carb sources.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get a freaking Cholio or a Twinkie, you will have knocked out like 90% of your calories.
Right.
And you will have gotten like one serving of protein. As an individual, I'm supposed to be getting about 180 grams of protein a day for maintaining muscle. Mm-hmm. It is really hard to do that. I have to resort
whey protein and ice cream, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I actually don't even do that much whey protein anymore. I've just been like doing heavy on the sardines and like basically I eat like a pound of like ground turkey or something a day. It's like I spread it throughout the day, obviously, but I've been trying to go more like animal sources instead of just going from the whey.
Right.
But
no, I agree.
If you eat at restaurants,
better to eat whole foods.
Restaurants are super low in their protein unless you're going to like a Texas Roadhouse and you're like, oh.
Because it's the most expensive part of the meal.
It is the most expensive part of the meal. That's why getting a steak is expensive unless you're getting a sirloin. And we had an argument about that last night where I said, someone tries to serve you sirloin, say no.
Yeah.
Which I'm
trash.
Shit tier steak.
Yes.
But. So in theory, you can lose weight no matter what on if it fits your macros. And there's going to be someone out there who has a weird disorder with their hormones or this, that, and the other, or carb sensitivity or this, that, and the other.
Outliers.
And they will argue with me, and I think they have a valid argument.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about you today.
They're outliers. I'm
talking about
the vast majority.
Exactly. The outliers, you matter. I think that you have a relevant voice in this. Stop stomping on the conversation.
I love it.
But you can lose weight eating garbage. But if you realistically want to have a good composition and build as an individual, you still have to stick to a solid diet that is going towards your goals. It's talking about low carb, high in protein, and your fat may vary. Your mileage may vary depending on you as an individual. Like, I'm a high fat individual when I do my eating because I have a little bit carb sensitive, so I hold on to that pretty easily.
Right.
Whereas you might have something where it's like, I don't like to have a lot of fats because yada, yada, yada. That being said, again, I think that If It Fits Your Macros is the best for the average person. I think if you are not going to competition, if you're an average person who doesn't want to be like Shredsville, USA, because we're talking about this right before the podcast, right. I was saying, look, most girls don't care if you are like The Rock or looking like Brad Pitt from Fight Club.
That might even intimidate.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of them, like a lot of people, I know guys, they see a girl who's too attractive and like, okay, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Or, and I'm sure there's girls who see a guy and are like, okay, I think that you probably spend, you know, 8 hours at the gym every day, and that's not a lifestyle that I want to be a part of.
Really, they spend 8 hours eating.
Exactly. Yeah. Eating foods you don't want to eat.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm sitting here, I'm like, if you're over 6 foot, that's a knock towards me. Yeah. And if you're relatively lean, second knock towards me, you're going to be great. You're going to be fine. That's a lot. Sorry. And all of you guys who are like under 5'9", you're kings. I think you're great. Yeah. I am.
Yes.
How tall are you?
I don't know. Well.
Oh, God. There's a well.
Well, I mean, it depends. According to the Army, I am 5'8.5", but. Dude, according to
the same height, because I'm 5'8.5" to the Army too, and I found out because they do halves.
Yeah,
doctor's offices round up or down.
Right.
So I'm 5'9" in the doctor.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yep, in the doctor, I'm 5'9", but on the Army, so I am 5'8.5", and I hate to say that because it's always like, oh, he's under 6 foot. He's saying he's 5'8.5".
Yeah.
It's like, dude, no. Like, I'd rather just say. I actually have started telling people just 5'8", because personally, I think height is silly. Anyways, like if a girl doesn't want to date me because of my height, I probably don't want to date you either because. You're super tall, probably right. Still a great person. That hurt my feelings.
Just be nice, right?
Yeah. I don't see a problem with guys being short. I don't see a problem with girls being tall, but moral of the story.
Yeah.
If you are healthy, a good weight for your body shape, most people are going to think you look good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if
you're not like your obese, you know,
exactly. If you're not freaking like 60% of America.
Right.
And that's a real statistic.
Right.
You're going to do pretty well.
Yeah. Just you're right. For the person who doesn't want to look sloppy and wants, you know, the lifestyle bod, shit, I would say that if you put in the time in the gym and like put in a little extra effort to make sure that you're hitting your macros, not just like staying flexible, you could even like walk around with abs if you do it right.
If you do it right. The thing is, it's like you can have, if you have a slightly built lats, decent shoulders and like the essence of a chest, you probably look really good if you have a relatively, a body fat percentage below 20%.
Yeah.
Probably
a little
look
bit of muscle
decent.
Mass under 20%, you're probably looking more athletic than most people out there.
You probably look great, bud. I think you look amazing. I see you looking in the mirror. I know you don't feel good about yourself. Dimitri thinks you're a hottie.
So I've got some interesting ideas about FYM. Sorry, can't talk. And I think that a lot of people treat it as like the ultimate beginner's diet.
Yes.
But I think that it's not necessarily a beginner's diet. I think it's more of like an intermediate diet.
Okay. What do you think is a beginner's diet, though?
I would say that most people should at least start. I know it's hard to say, like, they should try and transition to the clean foods as quickly as possible for at least a little bit. That's what I think they should do. Like, I don't think that someone, you know, who's obese and eating like pizzas and liters of cola every day should all of a sudden switch to rice and broccoli, because that's going to ultimately fail. You know, if you make such a big switch. If I were to ideally map it out for a new person, I would go count your calories, stay under 2,000. Okay, you got that down? Good. Now, how much protein are you eating? Good. Now you're eating protein every meal. From there, third step. Now we're going to clean foods. I would do that. And then once they know how to use those clean foods and which foods are the clean foods, then they could start throwing in, you know, different carb sources, different fat sources, different protein sources.
I've actually been loving this talk, because even when we were setting up for this specific podcast, we don't disagree on much.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we strongly disagree. I think we just have like different paths, same road.
Yeah.
I only I actually do agree with that, but I had a different thought process on how I view it. How when people ask me, like, what should I do to lose weight? Because as we've talked before, I was a big old chonk and I dropped a bunch of weight.
Right.
The way I did it and the way I recommend to people, and, you know, your mileage may vary, is I didn't do reduce the amount of bad food I'm eating and then switch to healthy food. I said, eat healthy food, eat as much of it as you feel like you need to, and kind of retrain your palate. You like learn how to cook, you learn how to season, you like learn how to like, oh, hey, like I don't need to eat a Big Mac. I can like eat, you know, a lean steak. Right. I don't need to eat fish sticks. I can make a pan fried salmon.
Right.
And now I'm going to start integrating greens because almost nobody who's overweight eats enough vegetables. And like that, basically it made it so that I could eat foods that were healthier and I could just eat as much as I possibly want.
Yeah.
And then I went to the cut down.
Okay.
And that's just another way. It's like basically saying it's like, okay, cool. Like,
what do you mean you went to the cut down? What do you mean?
I went to cut down like calories. Oh, so that's when I started tracking.
First you transition from eating whatever you want to eating however much clean foods you want.
Yes.
And then from there you started cutting down.
And then started tracking the amount of protein, this and the other. So it's basically we have the same instructions. Mm-hmm. I just turn them upside down.
Yeah.
And that actually I would say is person to person.
Yeah.
It's just like, because if you are addicted to food, like you're like, I just can't imagine my life without pizza. I maybe could eat less pizza. Mm-hmm. Do that. Right. If you're saying it's not so much about the pizza, so much it's just like I am just bored and I like to eat, or I'm just hungry all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, instead of eating the pizza, let's switch to like a freaking low carb chicken parm. I don't fucking know. I'm making that up off the top of my head. I think that they're both relevant, but I do like that. This is why I'm like this conversation, because I disagree, but I agree.
Well, I like that, because the people who are ultimately successful with this find out the best way to do it for themselves and for their lifestyle and schedule. It's like the method that I just said is what we use for like our clients coming in, which is good if someone doesn't have the initiative to do it on their own. They don't have any, you know, will to research how to do it. And they're just like, I need someone to baby me and hold my hand on getting this started. Now, those people usually end up, unless they make the mental switch to start taking control on their own, end up failing and giving up after a while. Mm-hmm. But the people who make the lifestyle change long term are the ones that learn how to do it the best way for them.
Here's another one. And this is just actually recommendations I've made. And this is a very isolated recommendation that I only make to typically younger people, especially like it was usually guys in the army,
right?
As they first came in, I said, okay, you're in the army, you've got a little bit of hua in you, you like working out, we're forcing you to run, and you're exercising, you're usually getting 1 to 2 workouts in every single day. Only thing I want you to change about your diet is track your protein,
right?
Hit your minimum protein. You weigh 180 pounds, okay, get your 170 in. You weigh 200, get your 180, 190 in. Make sure, I don't care what you eat throughout the day, but you have to hit your protein goal.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, it's hard to eat more if you're filled up with freaking chicken.
Right.
The second of all, those guys start building muscle like crazy because they've got these huge fat reserves and they've got all this protein coming in and they're doing all this exercising. They're already
working out, yeah.
And they suddenly they have like this, it's like freaking werewolves. They just over the course of a couple months turn to like these freaking like little fat strong guys, and then suddenly just starts melting off because they're burning higher calories, which I will say though, long term, I don't think that leads to good health or good health habits. You have to make other changes, because those guys then get out of the military and balloon up because they never stop eating.
Right. They're not training the same way that they used to. And then they still eat like that.
You need to maintain.
I did that.
Right. That's like what most people in the military. Almost everyone gets out of the military and gains weight.
Yeah.
That's like the first thing I did when I got off active. I'm sitting here going back and forth about what my military career is. Every time I've been on active orders, I usually lose weight and get stronger. And then when I was in college and I was running 5 days a week and working out twice a day. So it's like, run in the morning, go to the gym. First thing I did when I got my real life job was gain weight. Mm-hmm. It was like, what the hell just happened? Yeah. You are not freaking doing PT every day.
Right. Yeah. Isn't it crazy? It's like holding on. And that's one thing that benefits people is once they start dieting and making progress and building, their caloric requirement goes up as they gain muscle. It's like, shit, the more, if you add 10 pounds of muscle, I promise you, you're going to be eating a significant amount more food a day just out of hunger.
And this kind of actually has been perfect roll into the criticism of If It Fits Your Macros, mm-hmm. is if it fits your macros, like you said, it's not great for beginners necessarily because it is sold as something that's going to solve all your problems.
Right.
And there's a thought process that has to go along with it because the vegetarians and vegans of the world, the carnivore guys, the high protein, Atkinson, keto guys are all going to criticize If It Fits Your Macros because they'll make arguments about micros. They'll make arguments about the quality of food you're eating. They'll make arguments about, is it organic or does it come from sources that are actually like complete
ideal protein sources.
Complete nutrients.
Yeah.
And the answer is maybe not.
Yeah.
And it might not be the best. And if you don't have the right headset. If you don't have the right mindset,
yeah,
you're basically putting yourself in a position for failure because you're not going to develop yourself to be ready for that next step when things change.
Right. Yeah, man. I think it's best applied to like the intermediate or, seasoned dieter who can make good food choices but be flexible. You know, it's like it's for the lifestyle dieter or, even like some little bit more serious people too who they know what foods their body works well with already. And outside of that, they can manipulate their macros based on like if it's somebody's birthday or mm-hmm. you're going to Easter brunch,
yeah.
And stuff like that. So it's like, they're not just going to be like, I'm going to have whey protein and ice cream all day because that's a foolish idea.
It's like saying, I'm going to go drinking tonight. So yes. I need to eat accordingly today.
Right. So I need to make sure I'm not overdoing it on fats and carbs and make sure that the meal I have before I go drinking has a lot of protein in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's basically, it involves you having a lot of knowledge about yourself and a lot of knowledge about food and the ability to prepare, which and now that I'm thinking about when you say it wasn't a beginner diet, mm-hmm. that makes sense now because it's basically saying it involves a lot of accountability.
Right.
It says you have to know these things about yourself and you have to be able to work around, problems because other diets mm-hmm. are very much based on the concept of like, here are your hard and fast rules. If you break these rules, it's your fault.
Right.
If Fits Your Macros says, hey man, this is the general guidelines. And if you can mess up and make it work, but your failure's on you, not on us.
Right. If you try to just eat, your two spicy McChickens and large fry from McDonald's that covers your macros, and you think that's all you're going to want to eat for the day, then you're wrong.
I've done that, and I'll tell you right now, it sucks.
Yeah, and then the rest of the day, you're going to be hungry in about 3 hours, and then what are you going to do?
Be hungry.
Yeah.
Or eat again.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, well, I guess it's a cheat day now. I guess that's what we're doing today.
Yes.
And that's not how that cheat day is supposed to work.
It's not a good... It can... If you don't choose the right foods, then it can be a poor framework to stick to your diet.
Yeah. And that's where you start talking about like eating filling foods, making sure you're getting fiber, make sure you're drinking a lot of water.
Right.
And that's more of intricate kinds of things of looking at it. But mm-hmm. we were talking about when you start, if it fits your macros, because the idea, it's based around basal metabolic rate. And a basal metabolic rate is the amount of calories that takes you to maintain weight. And this is different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a moving target, too.
Exactly.
It's different for you this week than it is from like a month ago.
Yeah, you can have a general idea. So it's like, how much are you working out? Okay, right now my basal metabolic is definitely much lower because I'm not at the gym as much because we're stuck inside.
Right.
If you even went from a job, like say you went from college where you're walking around campus all day, to now you're in real life and you're driving straight to work, walking in, sitting at a desk all day, you are burning far less calories than you were before. Mm-hmm. If you're not in the sun as much as you used to be, you're burning less calories. There's all of these different things. So there's a couple of ways of looking at this, and we'll start with
I just want to throw one thing in. Sorry, guys. So basal metabolic rate is the minimum amount of calories that you burn just sitting there doing nothing. Now, there's also another term that gets as hacked on there, and that's for the calories that you burn when you're like walking around outside, brushing your teeth, taking a dump, whatever. And that's I forgot what it's called. TEE, so total energy expenditure.
How?
That's another term.
Dare you correct my half-truth.
Sorry, just want to make sure no one calls us out.
I'm glad you called me out because you're right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
That's so yes, I lump them together because as when you're calculating this for if it fits your macros, they are kind of the same.
Yeah.
But
you want to take both in consideration for sure.
So your TE is a moving target and well, they're both moving targets. Your TE is a far more mobile target than your basal metabolic.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes down to like muscle mass, your genetics, a lot of other things, your general weight and everything like that.
Right.
So that's kind of where things can change. And we were talking about this because I was talking about how I was like, I have a formula. This is how I solve it. Like you do this formula. And we're going to talk about mine first because Wes is then going to give us a little bit of instruction about calculating your macros, but he does it in a method that's kind of more, and he'll give us resource in a second.
Mm-hmm.
What I use is a formula called, it's called Mifflin St. Jeor, I believe is what it's called.
Yes.
And how that works is you basically, there's a calculation that's based off of your weight and a couple other features. And essentially you do the math and it gives you what your ideal amount of calorie consumption is. You basically tell them your weight, how much you general activity you do during the day, yada, yada, yada. And it spits out a number. I'm going to say you right, tell you right now, that number is always a little too high. And the idea of how that works is you follow those macros and that amount for a week, and then you weigh yourself. Okay, did I go up or down? If you stay the same, you do it another week. If you went up, you lower your calorie count by like 200, 100, 200, depending. Then you do it another week. Okay, I went down a pound. That wasn't right. Raised it 100. And you do this for weeks until you find your basal metabolic.
Right.
Now, it was funny because we were talking about how we have been having like light disagreement in this because he was saying, because Wes works with actual clients and real human beings. I'm working with theory and myself. And the reason I said that I like that version is because it basically says, if I can't find my basal metabolic and my TEE and get it nailed down, and use that couple weeks to like actually develop a diet with that, I don't think I'm ready to be on a diet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like a very like hoity-toity Shaolin monk way.
See if you're mentally in the game.
Are you mentally in the game?
Yeah.
Wes lives in reality, and he said, well, I work with clients who are people, and they want to get this solved, and it's not that they're not committed. It's just that they need to start seeing results at a certain point, or they're going to stop coming back.
Yeah, we gotta start seeing the progress like within a few weeks, or else they're going to get bored.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's my way of looking at it. That's a way to do it. Mm-hmm. That's probably more of like a traditionalist bodybuilder way of doing it. Like basically, you're developing a lifestyle around that number.
Mm-hmm.
And I now, as an individual, have an idea of what I do. Like, basically, I almost always maintain weight at about 2,000, mm-hmm. maybe 2,100, depending if I'm really getting after it. And then I almost always lose weight at 1,800. That's right. Give or take, that's a truth for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go lower or higher depending on the situations. But I've been doing this for a long enough time that I have an understanding of my body. And
it's not your first rodeo.
Exactly. I may not actually follow it, but I know it. It's like when I look at the scan, it's like I gained weight. I can think about my week and I know exactly why it happened.
Right.
And that's actually a really powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And that can really help you think when you like can look at your week and be like, damn, why am I carrying so much weight right now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I know how I act with water when I eat this, or I know how I gain weight when I do this. And then you kind of can like reconnoiter. It's a really wonderful thing to have in your tool case.
It takes practice too.
Oh yeah, it took me probably 5 years.
Yeah.
And now it's like, and now I maintain right now like 195,
mm-hmm.
which is not where I want to be at. And we talked about today.
Do you feel like your body likes to be at a certain weight? I know mine does.
Mine does. My body likes to be at a higher weight because my entire family is fat.
No, I just mean like for me, my body likes to be between 180 and 185, regardless of my body composition.
Well, no,
I'm lean or I'm like,
no, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm from like a stockier, heftier folk, like on the Puerto Rican side, they're all fat. And I think that just kind of comes from being like, kind of like having like a bit of like native blood in that gene pool, reacting to like, you know,
carbs,
a European diet is much different than like how it was historically for them.
Right.
Like, you know, they didn't have an extra 1,000 years to develop a resistance to that. And then on my dad's side, it's like Sicilian, and it's like that Mediterranean diet is really healthy and everything, but you include all that pasta and everything, you're just going to have a predisposition. So they're all like kind of fatter, stockier people,
right?
Which is not an excuse for why they're overweight, but my body really loves like 190.
Right.
My body fucking loves it. And that's not to say that it's not muscle mass, and it's not to say that it isn't too much fat, but if I like don't track my macros, just eat how I want to eat, I'm about there.
Yeah.
And then if I, you know, we've talked about how I've gotten down to like 160, my body hated that. It was like a fight constantly.
One thing I'm starting to realize is, like, I get more advanced in this, is there comes a point where, I mean, excluding eating, like, trash foods, you have to, your body, when you hold a certain amount of muscle mass, you have to, like, eat to keep it up. You have to, like, fuel a fire that if you let burn out, you will not only lose muscle, but you'll gain fat in mm-hmm. its place. And that's why people say, oh, my muscle turned to fat. And it's like, no, it didn't turn to fat like that. What happened is you lost the ability to have a higher BMR, but you kept eating those calories. And then because your BMR was lower, since you have less muscle, you gain fat.
And I always make this excuse, and I love to, because it makes me feel better about myself, that in a survival situation, my people are going to be the ones who own the world.
Yes.
Because I know people who, it's like, to for them to gain weight, they have to eat like that, you know, massive amounts of food every day so they gain muscle. We're talking about this, that everyone knows, like, that skinny guy who's like, I want to gain weight so badly, and he's just cramming food, and he just, like, he's gaining the weight, but just not the way he wants to. And you have all of us fucking guys who are, you know, you live a fitness lifestyle, but we're pretty hefty. And it's like, man, I wish I could cut down.
I wouldn't
down
say
like
you're hefty, bro. That's a little steep.
All right,
steep.
Look, man.
It's a little steep.
Please let me have my negative self-talk. There was a just let me hate myself. God damn it. Yeah, no, I'm actually not that bad. I carry myself.
You're right. Giving the wrong picture.
I know, exactly. Go find me on Instagram. Major Sebastian. Not that fat.
Yeah.
No, man, I just need to freaking lose the weight. We've talked about this. I'm going to tell the audience right now. I'm losing 10 pounds so I want a tattoo. But I'm not letting myself get it.
Good reward.
That's going to be my reward. I want you all to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
If I don't report back next podcast that I've lost any weight, I want someone to send me a mean message.
I'll talk to your trainer. That's what I'll do.
Yeah, fuck that guy. that guy's a fucking moron. He doesn't help me at all.
Yeah.
No. But I hold on to muscle really well, though.
That's good.
Like, dude, I haven't picked up fucking anything heavy. True. No, it's a lie. Okay, but I haven't been able to go to the gym since this quarantine thing's happened.
Yeah.
I haven't lost any of my, like, upper body or, like ass or anything. Like, it's all
you haven't completely gone off your diet either, though. You're still eating protein.
Well, yeah, no, that's true. But I also just like it now. It's just like normal for me.
Yeah.
So it's, but I know people who like, they'll like wither away. Like you all know somebody who like, well, we don't all know. So you know somebody who's like been to like Ranger school and they come back and it's just like, they're like Skeletor.
Oh my God. It's kind of scary. Like, it's like, fuck, it's almost like the Holocaust.
You know? Right. Ranger school is an army school. It's a leadership school, but really they're just starving you and making you not sleep for several weeks.
How much can you take?
And that's exactly what it is. And then they make you do hard stuff. And then you come back and you look like someone who has not been allowed to sleep or eat for several weeks. Go surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Which is what happened.
It's just different for everybody. And that's where that kind of comes into fact. But I do want to roll into the concept of how you think about setting up your macros. And I want you to kind of share your source, because you said this was like an amazing source for you and you were surprised by it.
So this is a book that I have, a real book, not an audio book, guys. This is Chris Aceto's Championship Bodybuilding. And Chris Aceto is arguably the best bodybuilding coach ever. He has more people step on the Mr. Olympia stage every year than any other coach. And he trained the current Mr. Olympia. I forgot who his name is.
I know his Instagram handle. It's
Sean Roden, right?
Wait, what?
No. Not Sebum won the classic physique. I'm talking heavyweight.
Oh,
Sean Roden. Yeah, so okay. 2019 Mr. Olympia. And he was the coach of Jay Cutler, who beat Ronnie Coleman, the greatest bodybuilder who ever lived.
Fake news.
So he kind of knows what he's doing. So I got his book, and this is a book I read a while ago, and he doesn't deal with BMR like you do, because I think he's more like, this book might be targeted more towards like not as much of the beginners. Like the BMR, I think that's good, the basal metabolic rate. I think it helps you really learn your body, because just like what you said, you have a very clear understanding of, hey, when I'm at 2000, I'm maintaining. When I'm at 1800, I'm losing. When I'm working out, I need to up it to 2100 to maintain muscle. So you have a experience and knowledge, which you gain from doing it this method. So this is just a separate way to do basically the same thing you did, but I would say it's more for like a contest prep type approach.
Okay.
Yep. So what he does is he takes the client and he has them record 3 days of caloric eating. So it's like I ate 2,500 calories, 3,000 calories, and 3,500 calories. That's what they ate on those 3 days. Then obviously averages it, and then from there calculates protein needs, because those are the two most important parts right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? From there, there's two ways to do this. You can either do 1.5 grams per pound of lean body mass, which means you have to know how much body fat you have and calculate that out, which would be, say, like for me, say I'm like 180 at 12%. I would do 180 times 0.12. Easy. Okay. That's how much fat to take out. And then from there, I would subtract it, and then it would be like 150 pounds of lean muscle. So you multiply that by 1.5 grams. That gives you your protein intake, which is going to be somewhere around 230 grams.
Okay.
Yep. So that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is you just take your weight and you multiply it by one, which is not as precise, but easier.
I'm saying like 0.9. I'm going to argue that point.
Okay.
The only reason I know that is because I was, this girl I knew was a nutrition major, or dietetics, whichever one's actually a protected term. Mm-hmm. And she worked with the ASU football team, and they were all on the same meal plan.
Yeah.
And when they were doing urine tests, not for drugs, but for hydration.
Right.
And all of them, their pee all had obscenely high levels of protein in it.
Right.
And that's because she asked them, and they were being told to eat between 1 and 1.5 times their body weight in protein.
Right.
And some of them were doing even more, like the linemen.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they was just running all that protein through their kidneys. And I would make the argument that most people should probably do, like, I would say on the women, like 0.75 to, like, men or competitive women up to, like, 0.91 if you're feeling, like, dangerous.
Right. Yeah, this only applies to contest prep. This doesn't apply to, like, your gen pop at all. Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And this is also taking into account that you're not going to use all that protein. You're eating an excess of protein because it's going to have less of an effect on your insulin and fat storage than eating an excess of carbs or fat.
Boy Scout rules. Better to have too much than too little.
So I would say that you're right. There's a couple mechanisms behind this and different situations where you use it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use this for a Gen Pop person, per se.
And actually, to bring in the Gen Pop real quick, general population, I think that's actually a prison term.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like there's maximum
security. Okay, lifestyle client. I wouldn't use it for a lifestyle client.
I like Gen Pop. I like the prison terms. We're all in this together. You're not,
we're all quarantined together.
I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. I'm going to say right now, when you Google this afterwards, because you listen to everything we say and we're super smart, you trust us, and you Google If It Fits Your Macros, macro calculator, do not pay money.
Yeah, there's a free one out there.
Do not give anyone money for a calculator for this, because you can get it for free, it'll give you a calculation, and then everything after that you can adjust yourself. You do not need to pay someone money to give you, and if you have a trainer or a nutritionist or a dietitian, completely different conversation, but if you're doing a lifestyle thing to kind of get an idea for If It Fits Your Macros, do not pay to get that initial macro count.
Right. Like, if you're paying someone for just some initial starting macros, that unless you plan on them, like, coaching you in the long term, you shouldn't be paying for that.
There's some nutritionist out there that's going to want to fight me over this, but it's like, if you're giving me a pre-made meal plan and making me pay you for, like, a macro count, you're robbing me. Like, there needs to be, like, a sit-down discussion where we talk about lifestyle, preferences, like freaking sensitivities and allergies. If you're not getting that, like, find yourself a new freaking nutritionist. I'm just, fight me.
Yeah, you should have at least some FaceTime and, like, goals, you know, to orient your direction, right?
If your trainer talks to you, why is your nutritionist not talking to you?
Yeah.
We all know what we're buying when you buy, like, a canned workout from an Instagrammer. It's like, you're not getting any extra, like, you're just getting a good potential workout that may or may not work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know your value for sure, bro. Definitely.
You're very valuable, Wes. You're the most valuable.
Sorry. What were we talking about?
We were talking about calculating macros.
Oh, I forgot to wrap that up. Oh, so then you have your protein calculated. So then you take the rest of that number that you have. So say it's 220 grams of protein. 220 grams of protein equals 4 calories per gram. Okay? So you multiply that by 4. It gives you how many calories you have left. And then, or how many calories from protein. And you subtract that from the 3,000. And then from there, the last step is you decide if you're going to go low fat or low carb.
Okay. So with all that said, obviously life changes. Mm-hmm. Your TE is going to change. You are no longer in college. You don't have to walk a bunch. You are currently don't have a gym available to you. You're changing from powerlifting to CrossFit. You're changing from heavy lifting to cardio. What are best practices for adjusting your macros if you find yourself having a lifestyle change, either in the positive or the negative?
Yep. So I would say that your protein should be pretty static unless like you're doing mm-hmm. some type of extreme training day or something like that, or like a really high carb day, then your protein would come down on the carb day. but what I would do is what is your energy coming from? Is it coming from fat or is it coming from carbs? So that's what you have to decide. Like, you know, a keto person is obviously coming from fat. Someone who's doing a traditional diet or carb cycling is obviously coming from carbs. So you have to eat into that number of energy so that you could burn more of your own fat. Mm-hmm. So like say you hit a wall in your diet. Now you have to either do more cardio or you have to take away some more of your energy from calories. Mm-hmm. So that's how I look at it. Like, and what I would do is one portion at a time. So like, for example, my last adjustment was I was doing 4 meals out of my 6 with a cup of rice. Now I'm doing 3 out of my 6 with a cup of rice. So I just took one of my carb servings out and boom, I'm back on track making changes again.
I'm crying for you.
Yes. So that's an easy way to make an adjustment that's like not super painstaking.
I would say that for closing thoughts mm-hmm. on if it fits your macros, that if it fits your macros at the end of the day is all about sustainability. This mm-hmm. is a sustainability diet. And I hesitate to use the word diet for the stigmas that come with this, because we always talk about like the, you know,
sustainability framework or structure.
Like California diets, what was that? I don't know.
Diet has the word die in it.
I can't remember. Yeah, right. And that's why I love it. And that's why I love it, because it has the word die.
Cowabunga.
But everyone knows about like those beach diets from the 90s, those freaking yeah. weird pills that people were taking.
Detox.
All of these weird things and Detox. Like juice cleanses. Dude, I should do a juice cleanse.
Oh, yeah, bro. Shit
and
your
report,
brains out
and report back.
How many pounds you pooped out?
Dude, honestly, maybe. We will discuss this later.
If you guys want to hear Dimitri's juice cleanse results, let us know in the comments.
I've been shitting nothing but water. It's like there's all these diets. And right. there's and a diet, like I think, has the negative stigma of basically being like it's restrictive. It's saying this is what you cannot do.
Right.
Whereas if it fits your macros, says this is what you can do with these set available points or calories, or mm-hmm. it's saying I can do what I want to a limit instead of saying I can't do this or else. It's not an adversarial way of eating,
right.
which I think is really good for most people.
Mm-hmm.
And like Wes and I talked about with saying like, hey, either eat bad food, but then less and then switch to if it fits your macros, or eat good food as much as you want and then switch to less. It's eating a complete diet with healthy foods for the amount that makes sense for you. And that's one of the things that I think, you know, as Americans, I'm not like big on the whole criticize America train.
Yeah.
Best country on earth. If you want to fight about it, we'll meet
put a boot in your ass.
It's the American way. The thing you can say is that, hey, you know, as a country, we probably all do better to not eat 3 Big Macs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not necessarily a huge issue with eating one every once in a while.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Who cares? You're not going on stage. Mm-hmm. It's or like freaking, I'm going to eat 2 Big Macs, but I'm going to take the buns off of both of our buns, the top bun off both of them, and make it into like a double or quadruple. I don't know how many fucking things are on this.
Get a 2x1 instead of a double at In-N-Out. Bro, you cut out like 150 calories, 200 calories right there. Wait. By getting one slice less cheese.
Okay, first of all, fuck you.
Don't you take my cheese away from me.
God damn it, Wes. I have never wanted to fight you so bad right now, because you know what the answer is? You get a double protein style. Be an adult.
I don't like to compromise my buns.
I compromise the buns. I will compromise the buns before the cheese. God, I am...
I'm disgusted. Heated. You're disgusted.
I have nothing else to say to you. I think, what are your closing thoughts so we can get out of here?
Oh, man. Yeah, I agree. Sustainability after you know what you're doing. Like, once you know what foods that you should be eating to fuel your workouts and to feel good, then you can start adding variety based on what curveballs life throws you in the day, or if it's your anniversary or birthday or whatever. So,
sweet.
I'm with it.
Well, you guys know where to find us, hopefully, by now. But if you're a first-time listener and you do want to follow, you can find us at BNS_radio. You can find me on Instagram at Dimitri Sebastian.
And I'm Wes Kendall, and you can find me at WKENDLE_MFT on Insta, or Wesley Kendall on Facebook. So check us out.
And a quick message to all of you who made it this far. Congratulations, you are not a pleb. You are a true listener. We love you dearly. Please like, subscribe, rate, share. You know, we've been having a lot of fun with this, and it's been going really great, and we want to keep creating content for you guys. So just know that we love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.